We're going to spend a few minutes now on a disagreement over a point of view. What's not debatable is a statistic at the heart of the flare-up. According to this year's census data, white Americans are projected to lose majority status for the first time by 2045. Washington Post reporter Terrence McCoy wrote an article in July showing how that had already happened in a Bell & Evans chicken processing facility in Fredericksburg, Pennsylvania. The article was titled "White and in the Minority, She Speaks English, Her Co-workers Don't, Inside a Rural Chicken Plant, Whites Struggle to Fit In." It profiled 20-year-old Heaven Engel and her boyfriend, increasingly isolated, lonely, and angry at work because they don't speak Spanish. Well, Terrence's inbox exploded. A group of Hispanic journalists from Latino Rebels, a Latino media outlet, wrote an editorial in which they called the article a John Hughes teen angst film gone haywire. McCoy makes us all want to take out the tissues and cry for the two white tragic heroes they wrote about while depicting the Latino workers as lacking humanity. We're going to hear from Julio Ricardo Varela, one of the authors of that editorial. But first, Terrence McCoy. Terrence, what was the goal of your piece?
I was trying to say exactly what we said. We live in a time right now of very controversial policies. And what researchers are increasingly finding is that the support for a lot of these policies are rooted in white racial anxiety that a lot of whites are feeling with this changing country demographically. And this story set out to explore and illuminate the anxieties that are at the root of a lot of the policies that we're seeing roiling the country today.
Well, and so you profile this young woman at this facility, the Bell and Evans chicken processing plant. She is one of the few, maybe a handful, of white English-speaking workers, and we start to see how alone she feels. Can you see, though, how someone might read that as why should we feel sorry for her and her boyfriend who also works there when all these coworkers have gone through that themselves before as Spanish-speaking people in this country?
This is a story that's taking a new look at a very old issue. In the United States, obviously, millions and millions and millions of Latinos and Black Americans and immigrant families have been facing these same sort of struggles their entire lives. This is a story about white Americans who are learning about a changing role of their own race in demography. So what we set out to do was to take a look at how whites are interacting now in America. And what researchers are increasingly finding is the fact that a lot of these anxieties that they're feeling is at the root of a lot of policies that we're seeing in America today.
You speak to those who've studied this. Rachel Wetz, for instance, of the University of California at Berkeley, describes many whites as feeling threatened, even if not directly affected by the change. There's a sense of we have to band together because we are a threatened group. And the way you describe this young woman and her boyfriend, she increasingly feels that way. In the beginning, she says things like, maybe I should have stuck with Spanish. I should have studied more Spanish. Then over time, she starts to think, well, maybe those workers should learn English. You were trying to take us inside the mind of this young woman who felt threatened and alone as opposed to supporting her feelings.
I never write a story with any intention of trying to either sympathize with someone or make them look unsympathetic. I'm looking to portray them as they are. You know, at the end of the day, I don't want to write for, you know, the Twitterati. So, I mean, this is a story that was controversial. And, you know, I think it's incumbent upon us as journalists and reporters to tell the story of what's happening in America. And this is a story that was presenting Heaven Engel and her boyfriend Vincent Heim as they were.
And we also meet some of the people they interact with. Denise Salvador, for instance, is a 25-year-old from the Dominican Republic. She picks up some of the chicken parts that Heaven, your young white worker, has processed. And they can't speak to each other because they don't speak the language. And you talk about how Heaven had hoped, because they interact every day, there might be a friendship there. But she understands that they can't be because they don't speak the same language. You also let us know that Denise had some of those same feelings of being isolated, but neither woman had the time to learn another language. Some suggested, why didn't you give us a profile of Denise Salvador?
Well, at the Washington Post, we have a long history of profiling immigrants and as they come to this country, and also of the immigrant struggle, the hardships that they face. This story was about the anxieties that some whites are feeling as the country catapults towards majority-minority America. And what that means, this story was about white people and how they're dealing with those anxieties. And that's why we chose to focus on them.
see the world as they see it. Are you surprised by the response?
I was surprised to a certain extent that it was read as widely as it was. But, you know, I'm really hopeful about that because obviously it resonated with people. You know, I think it's something that we can all be optimistic about.
And to what end?
When you're talking about hardline immigration policies or policies that appear to specifically target minority groups, we need to understand where the support is coming from. You can make the argument that the most resonant policy that Donald Trump has been about immigration. This is something that he's come back to time and again in rally after rally, and people cheer about it. We need to understand what is at the root of those cheers, why people feel the way they do. And this is a story that set out to illuminate and take a look at those fears.
Terrence McCoy, Washington Post reporter, will post again his piece on the sense of isolation felt by some young white workers at a processing plant with mostly Latino, Spanish-speaking workers. Terrence, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
All right, let's bring in Julio Ricardo Varela, digital media director for Futuro Media. He also co-hosts In the Thick, a political podcast from journalists of color. Julio, you were one of those saying, we only saw the Latino workers like the Dominican Denise through the lens of heaven's white fear. You've heard Terrence's reasoning. You say what?
There's so much to unpack there because I think you could speak to anxiety and still tell a full story. Because the biggest problem with I have with this piece, it really never humanized the Latino workers. So my thing is the anxiety is there and the Latino workers, mostly Dominican and Puerto Ricans, are seen as sort of these zombies.
But again, this is Terrence's point. He wanted us to feel the isolation that the white workers feel, which he pointed out is the same isolation that people who don't speak English feel when they're in an English-speaking environment, that this is how other workers have felt.
But he doesn't talk to anyone about it. I mean, if that was the point of his piece, then why don't you dedicate as much copy to the Dominican worker? I'm not buying it. There's no humanity in these descriptions.
This young woman, Heaven, thought she was going to have a friendship with one of the workers. They thought they were going to humanize them, but they couldn't. They couldn't speak the language.
So basically, the argument is saying that the vast majority of Latinos that work in the rural, like, Pennsylvania area only speak Spanish? I mean, Puerto Rican workers didn't just magically appear in 2017 in chicken plants. There's a history of them coming in the 30s and the 40s. And why frame it here through this type of isolation? And to actually equate this to anti-immigrant feelings, we wrote this piece in Latino Rebels that it was like a bad John Hughes movie with zombies. And the zombies were the Latino workers. I'm not the only person who's saying this. Every Latino, Latina journalist that I spoke to about this piece had deep problems with how this story was framed.
He does paint scenes, though, of this woman, Denise, the co-worker that interacts mm-hmm. with Heaven, but they can't speak to each other. She cannot speak English. If it was a profile of a recently arrived immigrant who was working in an English-speaking environment in a factory and he could not communicate with his co-workers and was feeling increasingly isolated, would you feel the same way?
I'd love to see that much copy in the Washington Post with that much prominence about those stories. Those stories don't exist in the Washington Post or in the New York Times as much as you think. Those stories actually exist by people like me that have created our own independent media because we were asking that very same question, Robin. It's like, where are those stories?
And how about getting some insight into the anger over immigration policy? It shows Heaven, the young white worker, going to a big training session, and it is entirely in Spanish with interpretation just for her and one other worker, but the interpreter falls behind. We see her start off thinking, mm-hmm. maybe I'm going to learn Spanish. And this is a young girl who wasn't very good in school, doesn't have the time or the skills, perhaps, to learn another language. And we see her change over the course of the article to someone with her arms across her chest.
What it didn't look into was that history of rural Pennsylvania. I don't think the issue of why is Pennsylvania sort of this underbelly of white supremacist groups and hate groups, and come down to rural Pennsylvania, I've covered it, where the demographic is shifting and the people that are getting the voices are the ones who are like, I'm afraid of the immigrants. Oh, my life. And I think that's a big problem with how journalism and mostly, I hate to say it, white male journalists and editors in positions of power who are looking through the wrong lens and are saying, you know, we're going to justify fear and anxiety and xenophobia and don't really get into the foundations of it or where it all began and the history of black and brown and white relations in Pennsylvania. We talk about that area in Pennsylvania, and it's changed. It's mostly Puerto Rican. It's mostly Dominican. And I have to remind people, Puerto Ricans are not immigrants. Terrence, whether consciously or subconsciously, is trying to portray this anti-immigrant fear when, in fact, you're probably dealing with generations of people who have lived in Pennsylvania, who have set roots in Pennsylvania, and then all of a sudden, that's who you're afraid of? Come down to rural Pennsylvania and see how Puerto Ricans get treated. And it's incredibly dangerous. That's the biggest problem that I have with the piece. It's definitely the framing.
That's Julio Ricardo Varela, digital media director for Futura Media, also co-host of In the Thick, the political podcast by journalists of color. We'll put your group editorial from Latino Rebels and Terrence's article at herenow.org. We urge people to read them both. Julio, thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin. I appreciate it.